Well, I kind of like taking the old show on the road. It's kind of fun. Anyway, we'll be back in a moment. We'll take your phone calls now and your stories of privacy violations with Catherine Albrecht on Coast to Coast AM. Catherine, how did you get involved in all of these privacy issues? Something happened with you? What was it?
Well, you know, it ties in with this children's book that I'm working on. When I was, and I've told this story before, but I haven't quite made the total connection here, so I'll go ahead and make it tonight. Back when I was 8 years old, my grandmother told me about the mark of the beast, that there would be a time when people would not be able to buy or sell unless they had a mark on their right hand or their forehead, and she made me promise to never take the mark. And I'd never even heard of it. I had no idea. I didn't grow up in a family that, you know, went to church other than on major holidays. And as she told me that, I said, well, of course I would never do that. I mean, I couldn't even imagine how you could. I couldn't envision how you could pay with a number or a mark or how you could have a mark on your hand. I'd never even seen a credit card. We didn't have computers. There was no internet. There were no satellites. I mean, it was all, I mean, there might have been a satellite. I didn't know about it. So that decision that I made at the age of 8 years old in a little farmhouse in the Midwest came back to me when I was 30 years old. And I began to notice around me these developments starting to happen, like the mobile speed pass, for example. You know, the idea of waving a little fob off your keychain at the cash register to make a payment. Mm-hmm. And putting all that together, I said, wait a minute. The little thing in the fob, couldn't they take that same little thing and inject it right into your hand? And then lo and behold, they began to do that, to do exactly that, to take the RFID tags and inject them into people. And I would like for the listeners to check out chipmenot.com. If you're thinking of chipping your dog, I just heard from another dog owner just yesterday who had a huge tumorous mass removed from his neck, and it is cancer, and right in the middle of the cancer, there's a microchip. We're seeing this over and over and over. The veterinarians don't want to talk about it. The RFID chipping people don't want to talk about it because there's big bucks in chipping animals. They're now making it mandatory to chip them, you know, all over the world. So these kinds of developments happening over the last 10, 15, 20 years have really been very eye-opening. And in 1999, you know, ever since I've had cancer, George, I'm much more willing to just come out and say things. You know, I realize that
yeah, you're
long
pretty
long.
Blunt these days,
I'll
aren't
just
you?
Be blunt. In 1999, I had a visit by the Holy Spirit. I have no other way to describe it. I was absolutely just blown away with light and love and an extraordinary feeling of calm and of purpose. And at that point in my life in 1999, I had never been on the radio. Now I have a radio station that, you know, I have a radio signal that's being picked up by over 100 stations around the country. I'm now speaking to 14 million people on your show. I'd never done any of that. And the Lord stepped into my life and picked me up in a place where I was not particularly being faithful and I wasn't really, you know, walking in a Christian path, and said, I've got some work for you to do, and it involves this mark of the beast, and, you know, take a look around. And so I began to research, and the privacy aspect of this alone was enough to make my skin crawl, and the two kind of converged. And back in 1999, when when I had this experience, it lasted for about a week. And in that week, you'll laugh, but I taught myself HTML from scratch. I taught myself how to use Photoshop from scratch. I created all of the graphics, all of the text, and everything you see at the ancient website, nocards.org, the anti-supermarket card website. Created all of that in one blessed, extraordinary, illuminated week. And when it was over, I had this very calm sense of, okay, now you're launched. Now, you know, do the work that's put in front of you. And that's all I've done for the last, I don't know, 13 years.
Well, good for you. Let's go to the phones now. Let's go to our Skype caller, Daniel in Fort Wayne, Indiana. Hi, Daniel. Go ahead.
Yes, hello. I want to say first that I believe I'm a Christian like our guest this morning. And I believe also that the Lord had given me a kind of dream or a vision for, it's called a renewable ammonia corridor value cycling network engine, but it's composed of model ammonia economies at cities, as the city would have a smart microgrid and electrosynthetic fuel for being ammonia, and each of those would be model sustainable cities. Now, to operate, they would require information sharing from the appliances in the house and such. And I've kind of believed that this idea would help us move away from foreign oil and kind of also help to be a background scene in praying for the peace of Israel and kind of getting behind the scenes economic stuff to help Israel. But I also don't desire to forward progression towards the mark of the beast. And so I've got a bit of a cognitive dissonance over the situation that I have. So if our guest can address whether it's okay to move forward in some ways, but I don't know if I should use the RFIDs or not. And if I've not described the situation well enough, be sure to let me know. I can add a little more detail. So that's a bit of where I'm coming from.
All right.
There's an interesting quote that we opened Spy Chips with by C.P. Snow, who's a writer for the New York Times. And the quote says, "Technology is a queer thing. It gives you great gifts with one hand, and it stabs you in the back with the other." And one of the things about technology, there are no technologies that I can think of that have not had that characteristic of being both a blessing and simultaneously a curse. And I believe that goes all the way back to the Garden of Eden, when the deal was struck with Satan, essentially, in the garden, saying, if you eat this apple, you will have the knowledge of God, the knowledge of good and evil, which is the knowledge of technology. And isn't it interesting that now you've got 80% of people out there with one or more Apple with a bite out of it products carrying them around, the Apple logo, which really represents us sealing that deal. So we made a decision as a species, as a human race, to pursue power and technology over relying on the goodness of God. So anytime someone says, hey, this technology can vastly improve things, all you have to do is give up more of your control to the technology and look at the benefits you'll receive, I say that's probably not the best deal.
Okay, next up we go next, wildcard line, Teresa, Boulder, Colorado. Hi, Teresa, good morning.
I have a weird question.
Nothing's weird on this show.
Maybe the beast is the computer itself, and maybe we should just turn them all off. And what would happen if we all turned them off? What would happen to the world now if we all turned off our computers?
Well, that's an interesting take. And isn't there a computer called the Beast in Brussels?
Yeah, I've heard about that. You know, I actually believe that we are building the physical body for the Beast now. I was in the Science Center at Harvard, and there was a poster on the wall that I thought was a human nervous system until I got close and discovered it was actually a picture of the Internet. And it looks just like a nervous system. We are building the ability, and if you read what these RFID people want to do and the transhumanists want to do and all the futurists and IBM and all these companies, what they want to do is turn the physical world into an actual organism so that we individually and all the physical objects become like the cells in the nervous system all communicating with the central brain, which is why when Google says it wants to become the mind of God, I nod and say, yes, that's exactly what Google wants to become, because it wants to be the embodiment of all of this stuff coming together. IBM has a program called the Global Skin. They're actually viewing the Earth as an organism with a skin, and they want to outfit it with all these nervous system sensors so they can detect everything that happens. And they want us to be part of it. And I actually believe that taking the mark of the beast in some symbolic way will be becoming a cell in the body of the thing that will ultimately be the beast. So as we build the nervous system, at some point, and the Bible's very clear on this, at some point, you know, Satan himself will come and embody the system and live through it, this thing that we've created for him. And at that point, we're toast. The planet, at least, is toast. We can still get out alive, though.
All right. Next up, we go to Shelley in Houston, Texas. Welcome to the show. Hi, Shelley.
Hi.
Hey. Go ahead.
Good morning. How are you doing?
We're good.
Hi, Shelley. Great. My husband and I, we were listening tonight, and the show's been great, just to let you know that.
Thank you.
I was calling about the RFID badges. I worked in the school district here in Houston, and we've had those badges since the fall of 2010. all of the employees and the students have those.
Yeah, Houston was the first to roll it out. It was actually your spring school district there in Houston that did this initially. It's my understanding, though, that they haven't put the RFID tags into the doorways of the classrooms and the bathrooms, or have they now done that?
Yes, as a matter of fact, I could be driving, and when I would reach a certain range of the school, they could pick me up to see, you know, what time we were arriving, you know, into the school and everything. And we could find children, you know, wherever. Now, I'm not sure that they have them in the bathrooms, but there were certain areas of the school that they could find them, and even outside of the school.
My goodness, because when they first introduced that, and this is how this typically happens, they said, we're only going to use it on the buses, only when kids get on and off the bus. And now to hear that they've expanded it into the school is, you know, exactly what we would have worried about when we said, well, hang on, if you put it there, it's going to be like a snowball rolling downhill. It's going to wind up everywhere. How do you feel, Shelley, about having this kind of tracking device on you to go to work?
No, I don't like it. Now that I'm hearing all of this, it's like really freaky. You know, it's like, no, I don't like this.
Well, I would love to organize something down in San Antonio. So if you'd like to get involved, given that you have inside information there in Houston, I would love to hear from you. So if you'd like to email me, my email address is KMA, those are my initials, @spychips.com. And you can just drop me a line and I will follow up with you and we'll see what we can do about it.
Catherine, do you get a lot of emails, and what are people generally asking you for?
I do get a lot of email. People share a lot of important stories. They share a lot of encouragement. I have a lot of people ask me, hey, what do I do if I think I've been microchipped? That's a pretty common question. I don't have an answer after speaking to literally hundreds of people who believe they've been microchipped. I still haven't been able to get to the bottom of that particular mystery. Haven't found the kind of evidence that my scientific brain wants to find of that. But people wanting to volunteer, people wanting to listen to my radio show, which is Monday through Friday and on Saturdays too, they can find that at kmashow.com. All sorts of things. And I do get a ton of email. A lot of Start Page fans out there, people who love private searching. And I'd say lately I get a ton of emails saying, when is the Start Mail private email program going to be ready? That's probably a third of my email. So I should probably answer that here on the air so I don't get more of those. That email program, which will be the alternative to Gmail and Hotmail and Yahoo, so you can write email without it being read, will be available, we are now saying, the beginning of 2013. And all of the people who have signed up as beta testers will be getting an announcement when it's ready. And the reason it's taking so long, we thought we were going to build the email program, the private email, on top of an existing program and just modify it to make it private. We wound up going back and rewriting every single last line of code. We stripped it to the walls and rewrote it. So it will be absolutely state-of-the-art 2013 technology. And there will be nothing more private on the Internet, totally encrypted. Even we won't be able to read your email. So, and if people want to get on that beta list, we set up an email for it. Can I give it out?
Yes, please.
Yeah, it's beta, B-E-T-A, @startpage.com, beta@startpage.com. And if you write to that, we will get back to you. We'll put you on the announcement list, and we're going to let Coast listeners beta test the program and be the first to use it for free. You know, we'll give you access so you can go in and tell us what you think. And that'll probably be, as I said, the beginning of 2013. I'm hoping January 1st so we can start off the new year with private email. It'll be exciting.
Okay, let's go to our wild card line. Shane in New Orleans, welcome to the program. Hi, Shane. Go ahead.
Hey, George. How you doing? Catherine.
Good. Good to have you with us.
Thanks for having my call. I'm a born-again Christian myself, you know, since like 5 years old. Sounds strange, but, you know. But I've read and studied the Bible since. And my question for Catherine is, I believe in the book Revelation, of course, like yourself. And you said that you would, if you could, hold up signs and protest RFIDs, you know, bracelets upon that pre-mentioned music event. Do you, like myself, struggle with our Holy Bible belief for the inevitability of the book of Revelation and of the Word? And do you struggle with the fact that you can't touch every person in a whole wide world, and should you just maybe focus upon the people that you can touch around your immediate self?
What a wonderful, wonderful question. I have, if you look at my life over the last 12, 13 years that I've been doing this work, I've been raising awareness. I have been fighting back and successfully against some things, but I often feel like I'm using a trash can lid to fend off the ocean, you know, like it's going to just go around me. I don't have, my shield is not big enough to protect everybody and maybe not even myself from these technologies. So they are going to come. It is inevitable. Everything the Bible says is absolutely true. So then what is my job? And I view my job may be different from your job, by the way, Shane, because I think the Lord gives us all different jobs. But my job, I believe, is to kind of be like the crew of the Titanic, because as the ship was sinking, the music was playing, the lights were on, people were wearing evening gowns, and they didn't want to jump into the cold water. They wanted to stay on board the ship, and they didn't believe it was sinking. And there were crew members who had seen the size of the hole and the water that the ship was taking on, and they did not do a good enough job sounding the alarm on the deck to get people into those lifeboats. And people don't realize this, but as the Titanic sank, there were lots of empty spaces in the lifeboat that went unfilled because people didn't get in time. So I kind of view my job as saying, hey, you know, we struck an iceberg way back in the Garden of Eden. We've been taking on water ever since, and we're about to go under. And there is a lifeboat, and that is Jesus Christ. So hop into the lifeboat. And unless I really make it clear that the things in the Bible are absolutely true and that the ship is going to sink and it's not going to be a pleasant thing as we get into those end times and the trauma that's coming, unless you understand that, then you really don't have an incentive to seek for an escape hatch. And I, you know, as things get harder, and as we were talking, George, about how, you know, the dark is going to get darker and the light is going to get lighter, those choices are going to become pressure on people to make a decision.
Sure is.
And so I'm here kind of just pointing the way. Can
right.
I stop it? Absolutely not. Will it be stopped? No, it won't. But as we fight the battles, it brings awareness and forces people to make a decision. Do I want to shop at Macy's or not? Do I want to take the time to call them up and say no? Do I want to take the time to, you know, do all these various things that need doing? And I, you know, I think the answer for me is yes. I would stand out there at Coachella and say, turn back. Don't do it.
Michael in Yucca Valley, west of the Rockies. Go ahead, Michael. Thanks for calling.
Good evening, George. Good evening, Catherine.
Hi, Michael.
I want to let you know the Bible says that women are like diamonds in God's eye, and I understand all the time. And I have a comment and a question. Have you gone to YouTube and seen the new, they're like patches that assimilate into your skin, and they actually they go below the derma? That's one YouTube that just sent the hair on the top of my head. I was electrified when I saw it. It's like a transparent Band-Aid with yes. electronics in it, and it actually assimilates into your skin. Also, where do you think it'll erupt first? The drastic awareness that America is trying to hide, trying not to, because I see so many Christians and they're saying, "Well, I'm just waiting for Jesus to come." And here is a post, a pre, and then post toasty. And I believe that we're going to have to go through a lot of stuff before we wake up.
All right, let's get your answers to all of those, Catherine, when we come right back on Coast to Coast AM. On our next Coast to Coast program, part 3 of 4 for our Shape Up North America campaign, our efforts to lose 15 million pounds. So we'll have that on our next show, followed by, yep, we're going to talk about the pyramids on Coast to Coast AM. And when we come right back, let's take final phone calls with Catherine Albrecht on Coast to Coast AM. And welcome back to Coast to Coast. Our last caller wanted to know about some patches that people have been putting on. Have you heard of those?
And actually, there's so many different RFID technologies for medical purposes. I would love to hear more about that one. So, Michael, if you want to email me again, it's kma@spychips.com. I'd love to get the details on that. But Michael also brought up a very interesting question, which is this sort of tribulation thing. Will we
yes.
be raptured
when
away?
When does it happen?
Yeah. Will we be raptured before it happens? And I want to point people to Revelation 20, verses 4 through 6. And I'd like to actually read this because I've never heard anybody mention this when this discussion comes up. And I think it's the most crucial passage in the whole Bible addressing it. John says in his vision, I saw thrones, and they sat upon them, and judgment was given unto them. And I saw the souls of them that were beheaded for the witness of Jesus and for the word of God, and which had not worshipped the beast, neither his image, neither had received his mark upon their foreheads or in their hands. All right, so this is the generation that gets killed, that is beheaded, as Revelation tells us in chapter 13. They will be beheaded for refusing to worship the beast and take his mark. So then John goes on in Revelation 20, verses 4 through 6. He says, and they lived and reigned with Christ 1,000 years. That's the millennial reign. Listen to this part, though. But the rest of the dead lived not again until the 1,000 years were finished. This is the first resurrection. Blessed and holy is he that has part in the first resurrection. Those are the people who are beheaded for not taking the mark, who are then resurrected for that 1,000 years. On such, the second death has no power, but they shall be the priests of God and of Christ, and shall reign with him 1,000 years. So how can it possibly be that the people who are raptured away because they're so wonderful don't get the benefits of this 1,000-year reign with Christ? It makes no sense. So from just reading this passage, Revelation 20, verses 4 through 6, it's very clear that the people who are rewarded above all other people who have ever lived are the generation who willingly put their heads into the guillotine instead of taking the mark of the beast and are beheaded for the testimony of Christ. And they will be rewarded beyond anything. They won't even be judged. They don't even have to go before the judgment that everybody else does. So that's a blessed generation. And all these people who want to be raptured away before it happens, I say, bummer if that actually did happen, because I'd actually, if it did happen in my lifetime, I'd rather be here, put my head in the guillotine and be part of the resurrection than be raptured away and not be part of it.
All right, let's take these final calls now. We'll go to John in Tempe, Arizona, first-time caller on Coast to Coast AM. Go ahead, John.
Hi. I want to say thank you for having me on the show.
Sure thing.
And, Catherine, I've only been listening to for the last 45 minutes. My father called me. He's listening right now in Gilbert, in the town over to the station. And I want to say what you were talking about earlier, I agree with you, and I can say firsthand that I've been witnessing these things just from getting up every day, living my life, going out in society where I work. I'm 23 years old right now. I'll be 24 in January, and I have witnessed in the last 6 months of my life the Word of God out of the Bible. It has been proven to me that it truly is the Word of God, and I wanted to point out an interesting fact that I'm not sure if you had a chance to cover this or if I missed it, but the Super Bowl that Madonna performed at was actually the 46th Super Bowl. And the reason why I believe that to be very significant is because when you look at the human body and biblically the temple, the vessel that our soul, that the Holy Spirit lives through, requires 46 chromosomes, 23 from each parent. The significance of what Madonna did at that mass, I believe, according to the word of Christ out of the Bible, is the anti-Christian ritual of what will represent the birth of the Antichrist or the age of the Antichrist. That is what we are entering into. And this coincides with everything else that people talk about, like they say 2012 is the end of the world, when in fact it's the end of an age. And I believe that 2012, December 22nd, 2012, in fact, is going to be the first day of the age of the Antichrist, which is the last age, which is why you're talking about these spiritual things coming to be. Because I have been feeling, thank you, Jesus Christ, I have been feeling the essence of the Holy Spirit every single day since June 17th of this year. And that came through a lot of faith and prayer that I've been investigating out of the Bible. So like you,
what about the rapture? What about the rapture?
Who are you asking?
You.
You're asking me?
Yeah.
You know, the rapture wasn't even a part of Christian theology until the early part of the last century. So it's a relatively new theory, I suppose you could call it. And here's what I'll say about it. I personally believe that God's people, that the body of Christ, will go through all of the tribulation that's described in the Bible and will be beheaded for the testimony of Christ when the mark comes. Now, if I'm wrong, and there are a lot of people out there, and I'm sure I'll get a ton of email from people saying I'm wrong. If I'm wrong, no harm, no foul, because the worst that would happen is I get to be pleasantly raptured away before that time. But if everybody out there believes in the rapture, if they are wrong, then there's a real problem. Because if you live your life and base your Christian faith on a belief that the Lord is going to come and whisk you off into the clouds and that you will never have to undergo the persecution that's described in the Bible, and then that persecution comes, then what Satan is going to tell everybody on the earth is, ha ha, your God wasn't even real. You thought he was going to come for you. He doesn't even exist. He's never going to come for you. You better take this mark, because if you are beheaded, that's the end of you, because there is no God. And so if the rapture people are wrong, the pre-tribulation rapture folks are wrong, many, many, many souls will be lost, because that is such an easy deception to pull over people. If instead you go into it expecting the worst and hoping for the best, and say, I fully am prepared, if and when the time comes, to put my head into a guillotine and sacrifice my life so that I can gain eternal life, if you go into the future with that attitude, you can't go wrong. So that, there's the nutshell. And by the way, speaking of the Word of God coming to life, I have a friend who was a drug addict and is covered in tattoos, and he was telling me his testimony 15 years ago when he picked up a Bible to try to save himself from his addictions. He said he threw the book across the room because he said, quote, it was alive. And my experience in reading the Bible is if you actually pray for guidance and you sit down and read it, and a wonderful place to start is the book of Matthew, because it's very clear, very easy to understand. Skip all the genealogy stuff at the beginning and jump in after, you know, when Mary finds out she's going to have a baby. But the book of Matthew is a wonderful place to start. And it is alive. It's like no other book I've ever read. I own 6,000 books, George. I have a doctorate from Harvard. 6,000?
I would guess you've never used a Ouija board.
You know, I did as a kid, and it was a horrible thing to have done. I didn't know better, but yeah. I could feel the evil emanating from it. But I never would do that again, and I've prayed for forgiveness over that, because there are spirits. There are things that you can interact with. They're
evil
here,
things,
and,
no
and
doubt.
And they want to climb on us, and...
Yep.
And yeah.
And they've done that to some. Let's take some final calls here. Derek in Tulsa. Go ahead, Derek.
Oh, man, where do I begin? The Ouija board or Revelations here?
Yeah. Having a lot of okay. ground tonight.
Either one, let's we see. Might be up the creek.
Well, look, the Ouija board, it doesn't work if your eyes are completely closed. I was raised Christian, okay? I was up until the age 14, I turned atheist. And from my experience, you really can't teach someone to see the Word of God through just reading the book. The person has to experience life, has to experience certain events, and then he will see signs that pertain to God. So for what I wanted to read, and last time I called in, I was on I couldn't get this through, but I'll try this again.
We're not going to let you read. That's the rule. Only the guests can do the reading, or else this show will go on and on and on like that. We're talking about chips and implants, not about the Bible. Let's go to Dennis in Miami, Florida. Dennis, welcome to the show. Go ahead, Denny.
Thank you very much.
Sure
I wanted
thing.
To take it into a slightly different direction to the technical area.
Mm-hmm.
I predict that the RFID industry's rush to put this out is going to inflame people so much that you're going to see hackers coming in and starting to sell RF bags to put different types of wallets and RF cards in them. The sun passes that are in the cars that you put on the windshield, switches to shut them off. And I also predict that if they inflame enough people, you'll see hackers that start feeding these store receivers with hundreds and hundreds of thousands of false numbers and overloading their databases to the point that they're useless. And I think that you'll see an electronic fighting back. It's one thing to stand in front of the store with one sign. It's another to feed false information and rendering this entire industry useless. And I'm sure that they're listening to this show right now and transcribing it, and their eyebrows are just raised. But this is what's going to happen. Then an attorney is going to use some of this in court. He's going to successfully subpoena something to prove a person was at a store or not at a store. When that comes out in court and gets national press, I look at the people saying, wait a minute, Barcodes are okay because they're passive. The Social Security numbers, we all know what they do. But once they find out that everything they do is traced, including how fast they walk,
good point,
how fast they talk, everything that they do is being recorded and put in databases and then cross-referenced with the phone calls and then linked up with everything that she mentioned earlier about Gmail, I think you're going to see a counter-revolution, and some of it's going to be electronic.
Well, and I have to say that when I was looking at all of this, I said, well, how can I fight back technologically in a way that's constructive? And that's how we developed StartPage. So if you don't want to use Google, for me, I had no alternative. What am I going to do then? Go to Bing, they do the same thing. Go to Yahoo, they do the same thing. So I worked to help create StartPage.com so I'd have a way to search the internet privately. You know, and I made it my homepage, I added it to my browser, and now I say StartPage instead of Google it. Voila, problem solved. So if we can find a way to do that in other arenas, identify where these places are and come up with the technical solutions, it doesn't even have to be a war where you're disrupting something. You simply say, I will not shop at Macy's. And by the way, if you go to my blog, kmashow.com, I've posted in the blog at KMA Show all of the information of how you can contact Macy's. And I would like for their executives tomorrow, as they're writing responses to my questions, I would like for them to be bombarded with phone calls, polite ones, and customer feedback and comments in the stores. If you live near one, go in and ask for the manager and tell him no RFID in Macy's, so that as they're formulating a response to us, they're doing it with thousands of people telling them, hey, we don't want it. So that's the response. It doesn't have to be gumming up their system or committing crimes. There are people who will do that, of course, but I think that we can do this constructively.
Why don't all the other search engines do what StartPage is doing?
Because they exist as bait, George. They have not been developed specifically to be private like StartPage was. So if your whole goal is to try to find a way to get the public 20 times a day to tell you what it's thinking,
precisely,
and you don't want to have some kind of government machine they've got to plug their brain into 20 times a day because they won't do it, then you create Google. And then they'll do it voluntarily. So, yeah, there's no incentive for them. Same with the email. And when the StartMail email program comes out in 2013, it's not going to be free because email shouldn't be free. Email is not free. It's like a free hotel. Who wants to check into a hotel that's got surveillance? I'd rather pay. So, it will be an interesting experiment to see, are people willing to pay for private email? And I believe they are. I believe people are ready and demanding it.
Interesting. Let's go to Raul, truck driving in Florida. Hello there, sir. Go ahead, Raul.
Hi, good evening, George, Catherine. Great show tonight.
Thank you.
I wanted to ask Catherine, are you familiar with the National Security Quick Card for truck drivers?
I am, and it's horrible. And you truck drivers are under more surveillance than just about anybody in the country through your gas stations and truck stops and government. It's horrible.
Let me tell you, when I got it a couple of years ago, it has a chip right next to the picture. It's like a driver's license, and it's got a little golden bronze-looking chip on it. And I always thought when I got it a couple of years ago, this is just a way to trace us all over the nation. Well, this load I picked up in McAllen Tuesday, you know, before you get to Border Patrol, I mean the inspection station, about a mile before, they got like a trillion cameras set up where they're scanning or whatever, taking
right.
pictures. Well, I went through that, and the line was pretty long. There was a lot of trucks. So they were forced to open up more lines for inspection. Well, as they did that, the trucks scatter and everybody gets on the line. The guy comes up to my window, and they're normal, U.S. citizen, yes, sir, and anybody else with you, no, sir. And then a guy from across the other line screams at him, hey, is that such and such? And he called out my last name. And I said, how did you know my last name? And he says, oh, by your tag. And I said, okay, thanks. So, and I said, you know, by my tag, this truck's not, it's a company truck, it's not even registered to me. And it dawned on me, it was by my Twit card.
It may well have been. I am continually amazed at how these readers are being placed all over the place. And what they say is the read range of a couple of feet is becoming 10, 20, 30 feet. And they're able to read these things through windshields. So I don't know exactly what technology was in that exact location. But what you're describing sounds a little worrisome.
It's everywhere. It's growing. Let's go to Jeff in Kansas. Squeeze you in here, Jeff. Go ahead.
Yes, I was wondering with all the troubles she said having with Apple and stuff, if there's any of the tablets out now that she would suggest as being more private or they seem to be, every company's making a tablet computer now, if not different sizes.
That's a great question. Let me see if I can jump in. I think Apple is sort of the symbol of a development that everybody's going to be on board with, and that's the idea that the computers, rather than taking up a city block like they did in the 70s, are going to become smaller and smaller until they're the size of a ring you can slip on your finger and ultimately something you can inject. And Apple has really led the way in that. Steve Jobs, I'd love to come back on the show and just give the whole history of Apple, because I've been researching Steve Jobs' experiences in India. He got caught in a flash flood and actually prayed out to Hindu deities to take over his life. And he says that that was a transformative experience, along with doing LSD and having some heavy spiritual experiences from that. And that's what led him to create Apple. So there's a whole history that goes into that that I can't, you know, obviously we don't have time for right now. I do not personally own any Apple products. I don't want to own any Apple products because I'm uncomfortable with that company specifically, just like I don't use Google products. But I do have a computer, and the way I justify that is the Bible clearly says, what you intended for evil, I have turned to good. And I believe that we can take these technologies and use the good part of the technology, because it is the knowledge of good and evil, and we can use them in constructive and positive ways. And that's what I'm trying to do, and you can do the same.
Okay, well, good luck to you. Catherine, we're running out of time. I want you to give out your websites, would you, and your book, Spy Chips, still available, right?
Spy Chips, I would recommend, if people don't already have a copy of it, please get it, spychips.com. You can get it at your local library. It's not your money I want. It's your awareness of what's happening. So please get a copy, borrow a copy, read a copy of Spy Chips so you understand about the person tracking unit, what Macy's is doing, and why all this matters. The Macy's information for people to contact tomorrow is on my blog. Go to kmashow.com. That's where you can hear my show. I'll be broadcasting live tomorrow, or today, I guess, 4 to 6 p.m. Eastern Time. You can catch the show at kmashow.com. My email address is kma@spychips.com. I have a children's book that will be coming out in November, and Lisa already promised I can come back on and talk about it when I have it ready. So hopefully we'll get a copy of that out to Coast listeners first and foremost.
All right, Catherine. Super. Thanks a lot for being on the program. Catherine Albrecht, for Dan Galante, Tom Danheiser, Lisa Lyon, Lex Lonehood, Sean Laudasur, Stephanie Smith, George Knapp, John B. Wells, Ian Punnett, and Art Bell. I'm George Norrie, somewhere out there on Coast to Coast AM. We'll see you on our next edition. Until then, be safe, everyone.